It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And welcome to this edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp. Thanks for that introduction, Bob Savage. And we are ready for, I guess, what I would call part two of our two-part in radio show on cheerleading. Last week, if you remember, we had a Buffalo Bills cheerleader, Emmy Thomas, who talked about what it's like to be a cheerleader for the NFL. And what I can tell you from our guest that will be coming up shortly, it's very different from what it's like at the high school level, and we're going to learn all about that. Before we get to our interviews, a couple of things we've certainly got to talk about. How could we possibly start off the show without some sort of information, or at least on the topic of the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks and the game, and more than the game, the episode at the end of the game, and to find out more about my views on this whole issue with the outburst by Richard Thomas of the Seahawks. You're going to have to listen to the entire show.
Richard Sherman, don't you?
Richard Sherman, yeah, yes. Right. I'm sorry.
Don't mind my jumping in.
What did I call him?
Thomas.
Thomas.
I think
Emmy Thomas was the cheerleader. Richard Sherman is the Seahawks player.
Richard Thomas was a Walton or something.
He was. Yes, it was right. John Boy. Yeah. Thank you for that. So the whole issue with Richard Sherman, you're going to have to listen to the whole show, because at the end I'll be giving you the view from my dugout. And it's a little bit different, I think, from a lot of people's perspectives. And I've certainly changed my opinion on the whole issue. So it's getting lots of play in the media, and it's become a real you know, doozy for the youth sports industry and world, and for these kids to listen to what's going on. So we'll get to that. Also, a couple of other things going on that we need to talk about. You know, we did a little poll at Youth Sports Now to find out what's coming up with the Olympics and what the kids are interested in. And in our very unscientific poll of what sports kids age 13 and under are really into when it comes to the upcoming Winter Olympics, I was sort of shocked. But, you know, you've got hockey and you've got skiing and all this kind of great stuff. But in our little Youth Sports Now survey, the number one sport the kids are looking for is snowboarding. And today, you know, when I was a kid, you watched the Olympics on one network and you watch what they put on the air. Nowadays, kids can go to the internet, they can go to a number of cable outlets, and they can watch whatever they want. So I suspect that the snowboarding ratings will be extremely high for the Olympics. Okay, so to get to the heart of the matter of what we're going to be talking about today, you know, the question sort of is cheerleading. Is it a sport? Is it dance? Is it both? And, you know, how do we look at it from the youth sports angle? We got the professional angle last week. This week we get the youth angle. So we've got coming up some cheerleaders from Rush Henrietta School District who are going to be talking to us, along with their coach, who is the coach at Rush Henrietta Varsity Cheerleading, as well as she is the owner and director over at the Platinum Dance Company. So we're going to learn a lot more about cheerleading and dance and competition, and we'll get all those questions that you have answered about cheerleading and the sport that it is. So when we come back, we'll have the cheerleaders from Rush Henrietta and their coach.
You found it, you savvy listener, you. It's Youth Sports Now on WISL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. We'll be back.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
We are back on U Sports Now, and today's topic, part two of our conversation about cheerleading. And is it a sport? Is it dance? Is it something else? Or is it all the above? And we have the pleasure today of having, I guess, I don't know if you call them a gaggle of cheerleaders, a group of cheerleaders, or whatever.
I think it's a pride, actually.
A what?
It's a pride.
A pride. Okay. All right. I gotcha. So we've got cheerleaders with us in the studio today, and with us is Rachel Talisky. Rachel is the varsity cheerleading coach at Rush Henrietta, and she coaches the girls in their cheers, and you know, sometimes the boys too. We'll talk about that. And with us also are some of her cheerleaders. We have Carly Peterson, who is a junior at RH, and then Anya Thompson, who is a senior, and then Cassidy Vickel, who is also a senior. First of all, you guys, welcome to U Sports Now.
Hi.
Thank you.
So now I just want to make something very clear, because I've been hearing you guys through your texting and tweets and everything. Do we want to tell all your friends who are listening that you really are recording an album, or do we want to tell them the truth and say that we're really just doing a radio show?
Yeah, it drops tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, so the album drops
iTunes
tomorrow, right, girls? And then if I'm not mistaken, you still have time if it drops tomorrow, so you will be appearing on the Grammy Awards?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Rachel, let's start with you. Let's answer the question. Cheerleading, is it dance? Is it sport? Is it athletics? What is cheerleading?
It's definitely all of the above, without a doubt. It started out... When cheerleading first came about, it was definitely more of supporting the boys and having a good time and cheering along. But now it's totally gone in a different direction. It incorporates dance, yes, but it also incorporates gymnastics. It is something that has been going back and forth with the New York State Supreme Court, deciding whether or not they're going to actually make it a sport. And it comes along every year and they discuss it, and then it gets pushed to the side, because I think it is hard to decide what they're going to do with it, because it incorporates so many different levels of high school sports. You have the gymnastics, you have dance, you have, I mean, I don't know. I would even say, go as far as say like track almost is involved in it. The amount of energy and everything that you're putting sure into a 2.5 minute routine. It's a lot. So.
And just to prove your point about what you're saying, though, and the possibility of what will happen in the future with cheerleading, you were telling me before the show that you guys have to adhere to all Section 5 rules and regulations, and that there's actually new rules in terms of competition and judging and the difficulty of moves that you have to do that are part of Section 5. So I guess in my book, that's a sport.
I definitely agree. As far as rules are, there's a high school ruling as far as safety that goes across the board for the whole United States. Section to section, state to state, things might vary as far as how you are going to be judged at a competition. Section 5 just recently in the past 2 years put into place a whole new scoring format. And it has brought in a lot of different aspects that we didn't used to have to really consider. I mean, I've been coaching for going on almost 14 years now. And when I first started, you didn't have to think about the difficulty. It was more about going out there and putting together a routine that was going to look good. It was going to be clean. It was going to be tight. The kids were going to be where they needed to be. All the stunts were going to hit more of a like a show. And now it's all about difficulty, difficulty, difficulty. And the score sheets now are broken up 60-40%. 60% is on execution. 40% of it is difficulty. And before, the difficulty wasn't even on there at all. So it went from nothing to almost 50%.
So it's obviously precision and a lot of synchronized stuff. You know, Cassidy, I want to ask you, you know, when Bob and I went to high school and you know, way back when, we got to wear these big, huge fur coats that looked like a bear, and we had megaphones and you know, little beanies to be cheerleaders.
Wait a minute. You're talking about Rudy Valley. That's about 70 years ago.
So let me ask you, Cassidy. I mean, we were talking now that it really is about precision and about the difficulty and the synchronization. Why and how did you start as a cheerleader?
Well, I used to be a gymnast. Like, that was all I did. And then I had to take a break from it, and cheerleading just looked so interesting. Like, my sister was a cheerleader. And it looks like they're having so much fun out there. So I went out and I tried it. But at first I was only a tumbler, so I didn't really do anything. They only had me tumble. But then I got into it, and I don't know, I just kind of fell into it.
And Carly, when you think about, you know, you're the junior here with the squad today. When you started to think about cheerleading and when you started maybe a lot younger than you are now, did you and do you consider yourself an athlete?
Definitely, because everything that we have to be able to do for cheerleading all tied together is like almost four different sports. When you think about it, gymnastics, you have to have tumbling, and you have to be able to lift people in the air. It's like lifting weights. It's a sport with everything else. And I do consider myself an athlete because I think I work just as hard as all the other sports in our school do.
Well, as your coach said before we went on the air, that you guys are practicing, you know, 8 to 10 hours a week, and that certainly, you know, takes a lot of effort. You know, Anya, when you look at cheerleading, when did you start to cheerlead? And how do you balance cheerleading between your schoolwork and any other activities that you do? So when did you start, first of all?
I started around sixth grade, and I thought it looked so much fun, just like Cassidy said, and I really enjoyed being out there and performing for people and stuff. And it's kind of, you kind of get into a daily routine, you know, you get up, you go to school, go to practice, do your homework. You have to be able to really keep track of your priorities, and you're a student athlete, so you have to really be careful and do your work and get into a routine so that you don't fall behind. But it's pretty
nice. And somewhere in between there, you've got to record your music sessions too.
Of course.
Rachel, as a coach, you know, other coaches in youth sports have lots of things to deal with, which I'm sure you have just as much to deal with the kids, and to also deal with the parents and all the rules and everything. How do you balance things when you've got your platinum dance company, and then you're also the varsity cheerleader or varsity cheerleading coach at Rush Henrietta? How does your job work in terms of balancing your career, but also balancing the difference or the similarities between the dance and the cheerleading?
It's hard. I opened the studio, and I had the intention that I wasn't going to coach anymore. And when the position opened up, it actually kind of fell in my lap. And it's really perfect. Where we practice is only 5 minutes from my dance studio. So I go and I teach my dance classes, and as soon as I'm done, I get in my car and I drive right over to cheerleading practice. I do have a little bit of overlap too. I have a couple of the girls that cheer for me that actually work at my dance studio as well. Okay. And I actually have some girls that are on my cheerleading squad that take dance lessons from me. So you get used to having to, you know, work with the parents and make sure, you know, that everyone understands like what comes first. If they're on both of my teams, you know, I can't say you have to be at both places at once because I physically can't be there either. So it works out. It's good. I think it's a lot of fun. And I actually think that coaching has helped bring about awareness of my dance studio.
Okay, great. So let me ask you this, and you can pretend that you're part of your squad isn't here, and you can also pretend that no parents are listening, but we call them Little League parents or Pop Warner parents. Are there cheerleading parents?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that. I know you don't want to divulge too many issues, but you do have the parental issues maybe at the younger age?
No, it's definitely, it's everyone. You kind of have to set a precedent when you walk into the program, and that's something that we did when I walked in, and I said, this is how it's going to be. If you have any problems, you can bring them either directly to me or to my athletic director. You know, try to get rid of that whole social media issue that we have as well, and that is with the kids too, you know, talking about each other, making sure that that doesn't happen, because you're not going to have a unified program when you act like your friends in one room and you go home and you're writing nasty stuff about your friends, and the parents do the same thing. You know, they'll come in and they'll say, you know, looks good, everything's great. They're all happy, but they're really not. So it's hard. It's hard. We call them helicopter parents.
Okay.
Because they're always just kind of there.
I may have to use that this spring and summer when I'm coaching. Cassidy, what do you think of the we were talking a little bit earlier before we went on the air about all these movies that are out there about cheerleading. And, you know, I know when I watch them or when I've seen them, it just seems like, hey, wait a minute, who's in control here? So are these cheerleading movies that you see on cable late night when you can't sleep, are they all true?
No, they're extremely unrealistic. Like you said, it's like a mess. They don't have coaches. It's like the kids are coaching them. That's not true. We don't do little cheer rumbles with like Fairport or someone. It's, I don't know. And like some of the things are kind of true. Like they kind of portray All-Star in a way. Like they have crazy tumbling. They do some wild stunts, but that's really unorganized.
So it's Hollywood.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I gotcha. Now, Carly, when you think of the cheerleading, you know, here's how I look at it, and I'm the outsider in the group here. You are an athlete. You said already earlier that you consider yourself an athlete, but you are an individual who you have a role to play during a performance or during a cheer, but yet at the same time, you're part of a team. So how do you figure out and how do you work with your team and your coach so that you can still do what you need to do individually, but at the same time, you're doing it all as part of a team and working in unison?
Well, I think when we make up our routines and stuff, we have to worry about ourselves more than we do everyone else on the team, because if everyone worries about themselves and does what our coach is telling us to do, it will come together as a team and look like a unit. And I think that that's part of the difficulty with cheerleading, is getting everyone to do it and want it as much as everyone does. Because sometimes there are girls who don't necessarily want it as badly as others. And that's where it starts to fall apart. And that's where, for the past couple years, our team has succeeded, is because we have had teams where we all do want to win and we do want to do good. And then we all try equally as hard and it comes together as a team and it looks good.
Now, your coach is jumping out of her skin here. So I better ask Rachel, what would you say to that question about having the individualism along with the team aspects?
I definitely agree with that. And I think that if they worry about each other too much, it is too much of a weight on your shoulders. But I think that just something to bring up as far as cheerleading is concerned, it is the only, and I will always say sport no matter what, it's the only sport that when you pick your team, then we have a team of 23, 23 people are on the floor participating 100% of the time, regardless. There's no bench. There's no, okay, you're going to come in and you're going to do this one jump and then you're going to run away and we're not going to see you again. If you make the team, you have to participate that entire time. So that is something that, you know, it's hard. And a lot of parents, it's hard for everyone to keep into consideration that you can't just be a cheerleader that's good at one thing. like you can with like other sports. You know, mm-hmm. you're really good. You're a quarterback. Okay, you're the quarterback of the football sure. team. There isn't that one cheerleader that is just one that you have to be all around. You have to be able to do the stunts. You have to be able to jump. You have to be able to tumble. You have to be able to be sharp. You have to be able to sell your routine. So it's definitely, that's something that as far as going along as sports-wise, I think it makes it even more difficult for us.
Okay, I'm all for that. Sounds very, very reasonable to me. Anya, what does it mean? You know, Carly used the phrase a couple of times there about, you know, as cheerleaders, you want to win. What does it mean to cheerleaders to win? Like, for example, with, you know, a football team, a basketball team, hockey, you win the game or you don't. And, you know, Cassidy said that you guys aren't rumbling Fairport or anybody else. So you don't have any cheerleading rumbles. So what does it mean to you guys when you want to win?
It's definitely nice to hear your name be called for first place. But I think that what really makes us feel like we've won is when we go out there and we do what we're supposed to do 100%. And we know that we left everything on the mat and we tried 100%. When you go and you have practice and you practice hard and you work hard and your stunts hit and your tumbling's great and everything's on time, it doesn't really matter to you as much what the judges have to say. I mean, in the long run, it's nice to be first place. I will say that, but I think coming together as a team and really working our routine and being great out there is good to know for yourself that you did the best you could. And that to me is how we win.
And you got, everybody else is nodding their heads. Cassidy, go ahead. Do you want to add to that?
It's also nice because cheerleading is a very biased sport. Like, I mean, when you have, like, referees and stuff, they call the calls that are there. But the people who are judging us, they could say, oh, we don't like Rush Henrietta or something. And they could give us all that scores, and we had a perfect routine. So to know that we win means that we had a great routine, but we also know that the judges enjoyed watching us. We did what they liked. And, like, I don't know that was special.
So I don't know who wouldn't like Rush Henrietta. I think, you know, I mean, well, you got to be crazy not to like Rush Henrietta. I mean, give me a break. But Carly, when you're doing the competitions, that's one thing. But during the regular, you know, season, you know, we talked that you guys have to try out again for if you want to be a cheerleader for football, a cheerleader for basketball. But when you are at the games during the regular season and you're doing your cheers, do you guys ever get to watch the games, and do you really care about the games, or is it more of you're working on the drills and the competition?
We definitely, when we are at games, we are there for those players and to cheer them on and to make them feel like they do have a crowd there and they have supporters. And we don't as much worry about our routine. Well, we do at halftime because that's when we go and we have our time, mm-hmm. but the rest of the time is theirs. It's their game. We're there to support them. And that's what I think people get kind of confused with cheerleading as being not a sport, is we're cheering at games and we do sidelines and chants for the team, but they don't see the other aspect that we do have outside of games.
Okay. We are with the Rush Henrietta cheerleaders, or at least a part of the squad, and their coach, Rachel Tulisky, who is also the owner and director at Platinum Dance Company and the varsity cheerleading coach. Now, Rachel, do you coach the squad for both football and basketball?
I do.
And so let me ask you this. I mean, I think I know the answer, but why do they have to try out again, if they're on the football cheerleading squad, why would you have to have tryouts again for the basketball? What's the difference, and how does that work?
It's a completely different season, new sport, new year, new everything. And I think if we didn't have tryouts, that would be something that they could use against us, saying sure. that we're not a sport because we have that carryover.
Okay.
And we have a football team when football's over, and we follow them all the way as far as they go to states. As soon as they're done, then we'll have tryouts for basketball season.
Okay.
And we'll go all the way through. And we actually cheer for both girls and boys home games in Monroe County.
So, you know, with the boys and with the girls' sports, what I'll call the traditional sports of football and basketball, hockey, and so on, usually what happens is that the coach stays up late at night and comes up with the plays and how they're going to work it. He or she as a coach has, you know, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You are the cheerleading coach. Now, rumor has it your sister's the assistant. how do you work it? Do you come up with all the choreography, and how do you work that? And then what happens? Do you allow the girls to ever come up to you and say, "Hey, coach, can we do this?"
I definitely come up with everything. We don't have the luxury or the funding to be able to afford excessive coaching staffs. We wish we could, but maybe someday. I have the music. We do have someone who makes our music for us. But as far as the routine and what they perform at the games, everything, that's all me. And I'm definitely up until 2 o'clock at night.
And how do you do it? Is it just, you know, a creative process where you think of what can be done that either hasn't been done, or you know the talents and capabilities of your squad, and then you do that, or you know what has to, again, quote unquote, win at the competitive level?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all of those things. It's experience and, you know, knowing what the judges are going to like when you put together your routine, what you need to put in the routine as far as what you're going to need to get the most points, and how you can utilize everybody's abilities to the fullest extent on your team, because you don't want to have anyone that's not being used. You want to make sure that every single person gets their time to shine on the floor.
We were talking earlier, and Anya, I think I brought it up to you, and you had, I think, a good answer. So try and remember it, okay? when we were talking, we asked, you know, there's no boys on the squad right now, but what do you think about having guys on the cheerleading squad? And, you know, what do you do to maybe talk them into it, or try and recruit them?
I think it would be awesome for boys to participate in cheerleading more. I think they believe it's really girly and weird to go out there and do that, but boys are strong and they have a lot of confidence, and they would help out so much. I think it would be really great to have more boys. We have had in the past boys on the team, but I think more people should do it. Okay. It's a great workout, and nice.
And Cassidy, do you would you have problems if there were guys on the squad or anything?
Oh, definitely not. I cheered with guys doing All-Star, and they're just awesome to have around. Like, they're great dancers, even if they're joking around, but they're also, like, a lot of help to stunts and stuff, because even though we are girls and we're very strong, guys are just naturally much stronger and would be able to help throw the girls higher, hold them up there longer. I don't know. They'd just be a great aspect to the team.
Okay, and Carly, when you talk about a little bit of the training that has to be done, I mean, you guys, do you do any training or any work outside of your practices, and what kind of training might you do when you're not either in school or at cheerleading practice?
Well, I think it's up to you as far as how much training you do want to do. If you want to be the best of the best, you have to take tumbling classes, you have to stretch outside of cheerleading, you have to work on your jumps outside, and that, I mean, I've been tumbling since I was sixth grade, and it's taken me a really long time to get to where I am now, so it's not something that can just happen overnight. You have to really work to be able to be a cheerleader, you have to be able to dance, you have to be able to tumble, you have to be able to stunt. There's a lot of aspects that people don't really see, I don't think.
Well, you guys don't want to know when I was, I think, in fourth grade, you never wanted to see my tumbling, because I always failed that part in gym class. I'm sorry. I know I'm not. I have a cousin who is a physical education teacher. I'm not allowed to say gym teacher because he gets on my case about that. Rachel, you know, as a coach, what is it that, you know, if you have the opportunity, and you do, to speak to maybe the parents or to a lot of younger kids out there who are thinking about going into cheerleading, maybe they're 6 or 7, they're 8 years old, what are some of the things that you would tell them that they either need to do, or the things that you could maybe give them as advice to adhere to be a cheerleader?
I think that if their goal is to be on a high school level cheerleading squad, I think that regardless of what grade they're in or how old they are now, they should start working like yesterday. It's not, and that is something that I do have the luxury of with my crossover of my studio and the cheerleading squad, is I'm able to offer classes at my studio that are geared towards newer, fresh kids that aren't really into cheerleading yet, but they want to get that idea of it. So get to a studio, start working on your stretching, there's numerous places in the area that you can take gymnastics or tumbling classes, and there's places that they make it specifically just for cheerleading. So
great.
Go out there and look into it.
All right. We have been speaking with a great squad of cheerleaders from Rush Henrietta, Cassidy Vickel, and also Anya Thompson, Carly Peterson, and their coach, which is Rachel Taliski, who, and we'll make sure we put on our website a link to information where you can get a hold of Rachel and the folks at the Platinum Dance Company. And these are fantastic athletes, and I encourage you to check them out and make sure you always give credit to your cheerleaders. And, hey, pay attention because these folks just might be on the Grammys coming up, too. So, thanks. Thank you a lot. We really appreciate it. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your peak performance.
Your Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM. There's more to come.
Your local sports leader.
You're listening to WYSL1040.com on the web.
FM 92.1
and 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural, where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete, where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And it is time for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment on Youth Sports Now. And we have joining us today on the Youth Sports Now hotline is Mike Naparella, live from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Hey, Mike, I think we finally, after two shows, we got the answer that cheerleading is, in fact, a sport.
Greg, I agree totally. And I agree with the ladies today and the cheerleaders themselves. There's no doubt that when you look at the sort of demands that cheerleading brings with it, from all the ways they talked about, between the dance side of it, the cheerleading side of it, the stunting side of it, there's strength, there's certainly power, there's dynamic stability, and nowadays, more than ever, used to be before, cheerleaders as a team go and compete against each other as well. And so clearly cheerleaders are athletes, and clearly it's a sport. It may not be looked at in quite the same sport because they're not competing with each other week by week. You know, they're out there supporting their teams, but they still do enter competitions. And so I know a lot of people get up in arms about these sort of things, but I think it's silly. These girls are out there working hard. They're absolutely athletic. And Greg, you know, the listeners should know as well that cheerleading is actually one of the highest injury rate sports. And so they're not only working really hard, their bodies do pay a price for this as well. I think sometimes we get caught up in seeing people jump up and down and cheer and see the rah-rah side of it and miss that there is really significant demand on the body. And there's some risks involved. Certainly cheerleading has some of the most, is the highest rate of catastrophic injuries in terms of spinal fractures and spinal cord injuries. So, and when you see girls getting tossed up in the air that high, and there's a lot of demand on the girls who are the bases at the bottom needing to catch that girl coming down, and a lot of confidence that that girl called the flyer who's in the air needs to have on her teammates. And so absolutely it's a sport, absolutely they're athletes.
Well, you know, Mike, I think we can we answered it, and hopefully the age-old debate is over, and we can say that we answered it here first on U Sports Now, because I agree with everything you said, and now after talking to these fine young ladies, it's truly a wonderful sport, and they work hard. Hey Mike, one of the we wanted to continue on with some of the questions that our listeners have provided, and listeners, first of all, you really wowed us this week with some good questions, and Mike, one of the first ones. You know, this is something you always hear people talk about, but nobody's ever really asked the question nor necessarily answered it. So I'm going to just fire away here. The question from our listener is, are orthopedic conditions, especially things like weak ankles and weak knees, are they hereditary? And, you know, this parent is saying that my grandfather was a weekend warrior and had weak ankles and knees. My dad has them. I have them. And now my 16-year-old seems to have them. So are they hereditary, and can they be prevented?
Well, you know, I guess, Greg, on the first side, the answer is it seems like there may be some extent of some genetic or hereditary component, but I'm not sure that I've seen any data that says that absolutely that's a significant factor. But you do look at parents who tend to be fairly athletic. Sometimes their kids seem to be more athletically developed. Other people who tend to not be quite as athletic in terms of being very strong and quick, and you know, they're very good at other things, but maybe physically they tend to be on a slighter build or tend to be a little bit more deconditioned or weaker. Sometimes their kids seem to be that way. But I think we've got to be very careful that, you know, the environment that they grow up in is part of that factor as well. It's difficult to tease those things out. In terms of, let's say that you're very into music and reading and computer things. Well, you're going to tend to, if your parents are like that and that's the sort of environment they provide their kids, those kids may not be as active physically, but they have very high aptitude in other very important areas of life in terms of, for example, music and other areas, reading, whatever. Whereas other parents who tend to be very active may push their kids into physical activity early, and those kids will get stimulated physically at an earlier age or maybe more frequently or in greater variety. So their body may develop more. So I'm sure there's literature out there that has tested, for example, in studies of twins and looked at those sort of things to try and tease it out, but I'm not sure we can put numbers on it. I would say this, though. Certainly, I really like this question because the person's basically calling in saying, is it normal to feel this way and do I need to leave it this way? Can't we do something about this? I don't like how I feel. And I think, Greg, there's lots of people out there who do feel that way. And whether it's genetic or not genetic isn't really the issue. I think the real underlying question is, should I feel this way? And is there anyone who can help me participate in life more? I'm not participating as much as I'd like. And in that regard, I'd say absolutely 100%. You know, I would suggest this person, you know, give us a call. Again, just for the contact information for the listeners out there who've called in before and want to know, how do they get a hold of us? Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is located in East Rochester. We're at 161 East Commercial Street. We're about literally a mile off of the exit on 490. They can read more about us at www.peakptrochester.com, and our phone number is 585-218-0240. And so I'd encourage this person, if they're in this area, go ahead and give us a call. This is a great example, Greg, of someone who could come in on what's called that direct access opportunity that we have, and that the citizens of New York State have, where you can come in and see a physical therapist without a prescription from a physician, and that physical therapist is in a position to be able to screen out, you know, more important medical conditions and send someone off to a specialist or back to their doctor. If there's an underlying medical condition that looks to be going on, and it's not simply a musculoskeletal problem that needs to be addressed, or if we need to send them back to ask someone to get some films or something. But in a case like this, you know, this person saying, look, I feel like I've got weak ankles. My question for him would be, what do you mean by weak ankles? Do you feel like your feet are collapsing in too far? Do you feel weak when you do certain activities? Are you unable to do certain activities? Do you fatigue out early when you try and do the things you want to do? Or do you literally feel unstable? Some people who say, hey, my ankles are weak. What they're really saying is, I sprain my ankles a lot. When I go play and do things, my ankle will roll out on me, and I literally twist it. And it's like a little, it's an injury. And they feel weak, or someone's told them they have weak ankles. But actually, there's a number of things that are, I mean, this could be a really deep question. You know, this person could be someone who would benefit from foot orthotics. It could be someone who has certain tight muscles that just need to be stretched out. They could be someone who just, they've got some challenges in their balance, and some simple balance exercises would help them. They may need some strengthening drills. And the whole point here is to say, when someone feels like they've got, in this case, weak ankles, what do you do for that? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. Don't go on the internet and start searching for things to do. Don't do generic things. There's people out in the community, like us as physical therapists, who are trained to be able to test you and identify what those causes are and help you with your own weak links so that you're not putting blood, sweat, and tears and valuable time and money into purchasing a DVD or buying some equipment or going to the gym and doing some sort of program that really doesn't address what your own needs are, but you thought it was, someone told you it was a good series of ankle exercises. This person may not actually have weak ankles. They may actually have some problems up at their hip. They may have some problems up at their core that are actually the cause of why their ankles respond by appearing weak. So that's what you want to see someone who's a musculoskeletal expert, and, you know, let us take a look at it and help identify exactly what you need. You know, there might be three things you need to do, but what if you went to some generic program and you're doing 10 things and none of them are addressing what you need? You're much better off with the three you need.
So, Mike, if I think, you know, as I listen to your response, which is, of course, all makes, you know, logical sense and a good reason to call Peak Performance. But let me ask you this. Is this something that you could do and your team at Peak Performance where, you know, if this is a 16-year-old athlete who seems to have this problem, maybe it's something that, you know, you could have the athlete and the mom or the dad, you know, and the grandmother, grandfather come in, and you could actually assess all of them to see if there is something that is wrong, or if it's, you know, as you say, where maybe it's a functionality type of issue.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. I think you bring up a good point. We are on youth sports now, and this show is particularly about youth sports. But as physical therapists at Peak Performance, you know, we handle more than just young athletes, and we certainly handle middle-aged athletes, adults, senior citizens. And if someone like this who feels like not only is it their 16-year-old seems to have these problems, but they themselves and even their parents, so a grandparent, a parent, and a child all have similar issues. You know, they all may need different things, and it may be very interesting to look at someone like that. And we do see that sometimes when a young athlete is in, their parent may say, yeah, I've got feet like that too, and we may take a quick peek at them and notice that their arches tend to collapse in that way, or they tend to have that sort of difficulty. Again, it may not literally be quote-unquote weakness in their ankles. The ankles may collapse or be floppy or not show good control. It may not be because of the foot ankle itself, but that's why we want to test somebody so that, you know, if you really need a hip drill and you're doing a foot drill, that's sort of a waste of time. You know, if you really need a foot drill and someone gave you a hip drill, or you need a exercise and someone put you in a brace, you know, you're starting to do things that are not addressing the underlying problem. You're just kind of throwing darts at it, hoping one of them sticks. And that's why you want to see a musculoskeletal expert like us as physical therapists that is in a position to try to identify those unique factors that may be different for you with your weak ankles that are actually, oddly enough, different than your son or daughter or your father, who has what appears to be the same thing but may not be.
Well, I think that, you know, that's great advice and certainly something that our youth athletes can get into. But again, it talks to the bigger picture of physical therapy and the things that you can do. Mike, jumping around here for time's sake in terms of some other questions that our listeners have sent in. This is one that, you know, may or may not necessarily be right up your alley. But again, as a physical therapist, somebody in the healthcare profession, as a parent, as a coach, we're going to fire away. One of our listeners asks, you know, should young athletes take vitamins or supplements? And then they add, obviously, not the illegal kind. So what's your view on that? And how could that possibly affect the whole system when they're training or in competition?
Well, you know, certainly with, you know, how TV commercials have changed and the internet age, there's so much more access to information, and that's a good thing. And it can be a bad thing because people go to school for 4 years and 6 years and 8 years and get bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and PhDs and are medical doctors to learn about the body like this. And, you know, it's a challenge when lay people are in a position who have a real passion for and they love sports and they love being active and they want to be in shape, but we're inundated with just tons of information. And then the question is, you know, is this information accurate? Is it misguided? Is someone just literally putting misinformation out there to sell me something and being disingenuous? Or is this really cutting-edge new information that's valuable? And if you don't have the ability to go back and read the studies and be able to digest them and interpret them and critique them, then you're not really necessarily in a position to know whether what they're selling you or what they're purporting is accurate or not. So I think that's a real difficulty. But with that said, I think we tend to, and we have talked about this a bit before, I think we tend to as a society sometimes go to these shortcuts. And isn't some of it maybe because of what we see on the TV every week? You know, there's another athlete who was really successful who was caught doping, you know, blood doping, steroids, human growth hormone, whatever. Those, you know, those illegal things that this person alluded to, but it sort of speaks to that side of us that sort of wants to take the short circuit route. You know, we don't want to take the long, arduous, difficult. Do I really have to eat my fruits and vegetables? Do I really have to make sure I'm eating the right kind of carbs at the right time? Do I really need to have protein? Can't I just take a pill? Can't I just drink a shake? Can't I just have the quick way out? And, it, you know, it's understandable why we all get that way in many aspects of life, not just in athletics. But I think we've got to be careful that sometimes those shortcut ways, you know, end up leading to less than ideal results. You can put the vitamins in the body, but we've got to remember that carrot that you ate does contain various vitamins. But you can't just replace the value of the carrot by eating the same amount of vitamins, whatever international units or milligrams or whatever were in that carrot. You don't just replace it by eating the same sort of vitamin. Because there are all sorts of other micronutrients that are in there that make that carrot a carrot. And enzymes and all sorts of things that are being discovered that are beneficial to us. And so I think the idea of, you know, taking a pill and thinking we can replace eating well, I've heard numbers of excellent sports nutritionists speak at the national level at various conferences. And although very many of them will talk about the value of taking supplements at certain times in certain situations for certain athletes, male or female, for specific reasons, they always, always, always start with making sure that you're eating a well-balanced diet and eating, you know, a variety of foods so that you're not just, you know, I don't eat chips all day, I don't just eat chicken, I don't eat just carrots. You know, whatever it may be, whether we think it's a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing, that we're getting variety of foods. One of the things I would encourage athletes to think about, and everyone out there listening, is to really optimize the amount of one ingredient foods that you eat. Think about that. One ingredient. How many things do we eat that have one ingredient in
it? Right, not too many things.
So many things now are processed, and and there's more and more discussion in the nutrition world of the potential issues that all this processing of food, chemicals that process food, nutrients that are being removed. There's some things that I read recently that talked about even our soil and the changes in our soil, that the nutrients that are even in those one-ingredient foods, the nutrients that are in potatoes, the nutrients that are in broccoli, the nutrients that are in a green bean, are different now than 30, 40, 50 years ago, just because soil's changed. And so what we thought we were getting nutrient-wise is a bit less. And so we just want to make sure that we're eating a well-balanced diet and eating good foods and not just trying to replace it with a quick fix and missing those natural things that are part of what should be going in our body. So I think we need to be optimizing what ingredient foods, you know, probably minimizing processed foods. We tend to be a very high-carb eating nation. We probably need to control that more. And just for athletes, so they know this, eating high carbs is certainly a good thing to do, particularly after you play and participate. So high carbs with some protein is one of the suggestions we can make for athletes that they do within 30 minutes, let's say, after a competition, in order to try and restore the glycogen and the energy supplies in their body. So that would be one hint from a nutrition side.
That's Mike. That's absolutely great information. We need to continue that. We're unfortunately out of time on this edition of U Sports Now and the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And when we come back, a final thought about some things that are happening with Richard Sherman and who knows, maybe even Richard Thomas.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL. Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Have I been having a lively debate on social media regarding this whole issue of Richard Sherman and Aaron Andrews' interview that took place after the Seahawks 49ers game? I'm not going to rehash it, nor do I think I even have to, because pretty much everybody knows what happened. Now, having said that, I think there are multiple sides of Sherman's tirade, and frankly, everyone is missing the point, and at the same time, everyone who has an opinion about it is correct. No one has to agree with me on these issues, but they're facts, and they contribute to the perfect storm that occurred in Seattle. Let's take them one at a time. First, like it or not, trash talking has been part of competition since the gladiators battled each other over religious issues. what Michael Crabtree of the 49ers and Sherman of the Seahawks said during the heat of a competition is not our business, nor should it be repeated. It's a he said situation. And unless we as fans actually heard it, then taking sides is strictly based on the passion that we have for the sport and for our teams. Accepting this fact allows us to move on to the next. I have heard so much blame placed on Sherman, and I even agreed with it. But upon further examination, I have to pull back from that view. I ask myself, in what job might I ever be in where immediately after a workday, especially a difficult one, that a reporter would shove a microphone in my face and ask me a question that's broadcast globally? Athletes have this happen to them all the time. It's what they signed up for. But the game that we just watched is also how the athletes make their living. There's enough blame to go around, but I personally feel that some of the blame should be on the media and the incessant questions that they ask after a game. How do you feel? Or walk me through what just happened. These are the dumbest questions in any situation, and yet they're asked regardless if it's an athlete at the end of a game or a parent who has lost a son or a daughter to addiction or war. These questions will continue to be asked until a time comes when someone in the media bucks the trend. It was said over Twitter after the game by a former NFL star and current analyst, Mark Schlereth, that he would rather, and I'm quoting him, see the NFL levy fines for a show like Sherman put on at the end of the game than for a nice, good football hit. At first, I completely agreed with him and said so on my Twitter feed. As my thoughts replayed and the entire event went through my head and the Twitter dialogue that I had with others, I came to the conclusion that Schlereth is wrong. A friend of mine from high school, who's a Seattle resident and a darn good lawyer, put up a strong opposition argument saying that Schlereth's comments focuses on the behaviors of the game and not the health of the players. I added my two cents with the fact that kids today imitate pro football players' hits and behaviors. Was the Crabtree-Sherman trash talk necessary? Probably not, but we don't know the history or the background. Should Aaron Andrews have stuck the microphone in Sherman's face and asked him to walk through what just happened? Again, probably not. And Sherman himself would agree and has agreed that his behavior and outburst wasn't necessary either. But as an NFL referee might say, looking under the hood of a monitor, the play stands and we can't take it back. It is regrettable that this happened at all, let alone after a highly watched game on national television and on the road to the Super Bowl. It does not bode well for the players, the team, the league, the sport, Fox Television, or the kids who may have either saw it live or have watched the replay a billion times. So let's learn a lesson here, not assign blame or put athletes on pedestals. Let's talk to our kids about what happened and stress the importance of sportsmanship in any situation and at every level. I was wrong in my initial blasting of Sherman and now see the many different views. I still don't like what he did, and as a youth sports coach, don't appreciate it. But it's a learning experience, and kids aren't the only ones who can learn from it. That's the view from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now. Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.